That was a huge blessing to get to sing one of our favorite songs in another language. Did y'all enjoy that? I loved it. Thanks, Brian. Thanks, group, for leading us. In 1976, a young couple came to Melanie Park and became a part of our church. Just as they were preparing to have the experience the birth of their first child, and their names were Keegan and Terry Williamson, and the little girl was going to be Holly. And 9 years later, Keegan and Terry and their children left here to become the first missionary sent out from Melanie Park. They left to go to language school in Costa Rica and then to minister for 15 years in Mexico as church planters. Then they came back to the States, where Keegan served on the executive team at CAM International's home office. And for the last 12 years has been developing a ministry that, if you were in our at our missions conference last year, you got to hear him speak and tell a little bit about that ministry and to show us some slides of some of the expansion of that ministry in El Salvador. And so they are with us today, and Keegan is going to come share some things. But not only do we have them with us, but we have another very special couple that he will introduce from El Salvador that are joining them in the ministry there. So if you would, let's give a warm welcome to Keegan Williamson. And you got us. Yeah. Before he speaks, though, Terry needs to stand and turn around and say hi so everybody can see him.
Hope I'm on. Do you hear me? Yeah? Okay, good. That's good. It is always good to be home. This is home for us, always will be. Although we've lived away most of the years here, I can't describe it, but it is always home and always will be home. Even though we haven't had the blessing of being physically here, we've always been here in heart and spirit. Always good to see folks. A joy to see lots of new faces. And I often forget that, but it's always good to see new folks here. And what we wanted to do this morning is celebrate. One of the things we forget is sometimes celebration is an important part of worship. And what I want to try to do this morning is I want to celebrate what God has done through a specific part of the ministry and missions of Melanie Park. And my prayer is that you will leave here this morning. If you're new, maybe a little bit more informed about the history of the church and what's been its vision and what it's done over the years. And I hope most of all you will be grateful to God, because it's because of him that anything is done and that we're here this morning. And that you will be encouraged to always never forget about the world around us, which really begins at your front door. But there are realities of thinking cross-culturally and people that think and live differently in different places than we do. And I don't know how many of you know what Mark mentioned, but we've been blessed through the years to have people going all over the place. As he mentioned, Casey and Lisa Jones, Mark and Bonnie have gone. Chuck and Carla Topp, Meredith, her ministry with Barnes has a strong focus. And we've had many, I know I'm missing a lot of people, have done short-term ministries all over the globe, China, Europe, all over the place. And we have much to celebrate when we look at what God has done through this body of believers. And I am grateful for also all the teams that have gone out of here, of men and women that have gone to serve. I am really grateful for the leadership. I was thinking, we've been, in my tenure, blessed with four pastors and one interim pastor that all have loved God and been passionate about missions. We have been blessed to have elders that have carried that and encouraged that. We've been blessed to have an endless number of people who have been part of the missions committee, which is a key function and need as we think about those of us that serve away. And I'm grateful for the investment that this body of believers made over the years. And for that reason, I'd like to shrink it down just for this morning. We're looking at Latin America, and we're going to really shrink it down a little bit more and look at Buscad Primero. Not to say that, but just to help you see, I want to give you a little bit more detail in one specific area, how this church has impacted the world around us. And Melanie Park has been significant to us, and I really want to do two things. I want you to know how this church has impacted our lives and our ministry, because you've played many of you may not know this, but a very significant role in our lives, at least on four different occasions. And we're going to look at kind of the last 40 years, more or less, at least in our perspective. And I think many of you heard, I've seen, as far as our ministry, two human things needed to happen for this ministry to continue on. The first was a couple, and I was really praying for a Salvadoran couple, that would capture the vision of what was begun, and the Lord would call them and move them to take this thing that I could pass it off to and continue to grow it and expand it, and I believe make it what God wants it to be. And the second was a retreat center, which because of the dynamics there in El Salvador, there's not a lot of places for couples, and wanted to have a center where that would be specifically focused on couples. And I want you to know, to my knowledge, what we're building, I believe, is probably going to be the first retreat center in all of the country designed specifically for couples. We have lots of resources for youth and for men or women, but far as couples, there's almost nothing. And I know that a lot of you have joined me in praying for that. I'll be honest, I had thought maybe the Lord wasn't going to answer. We've been praying for 8 years. And I'm not getting any younger, and I thought, Lord, are we just going to finish this thing with me? And I'm thrilled to say that last year, as many of you know, God answered that petition. And he did it in two key ways so that we were able to move forward. And the first of that was in 2023, the Lord provided the funds to start work on the retreat center. This is a drawing of it, and we are building 10 cabins, which are duplexes. All of them are duplexes. That will face each other. You see, we've got a green area in front, a common area, which allow people to come out. The idea is fellowship, cook, and have fun, play games. And when you look at each of the cabins, to give you an idea of the duplex, they're mirror images, have been designed by a man. He has designed them to be, we have earthquakes quite frequently down there. He has put in extra rebar. He used double-size cinder block. And these things will be there 50 years from now. That's one of the things I've been so encouraged about, is the quality of the construction that's been gone on. And this aerial view, I'll give you a little bit. We have the church association has about 40 acres. The light green areas, you can see where the retreat center, which is on the east side of the campground, and that's where that square area is, where that row of cabins will be. And it's kind of over by itself, so in next to it's actually kind of a large hill, but it's going to be a beautiful area when we finish developing it. And the total cost of this is for 22 motel-style rooms is about $300,000. And, you know, you think of you can't buy a good house for $300,000, much less to do a project of this size. And to give you an idea of what they look like, oh, that's interesting. I don't remember that one being in there. Oh, this one is. I know it is. We're standing back, and we're looking forward. And actually, that brick building up there was built in 1972. It was built to be a Bible Institute, but when the war began, it was abandoned because of the violence and was never finished. But our cabins will run on each row. We'd be looking down, and they would be, as you're looking, on each sides. And this is our first cabin. And you can see they're beautifully built. They've got big porches on them. Even got places for hammocks. And they are about, it comes out to about $50 a square foot. The gentleman who is doing this is doing just an absolutely wonderful job. Like I say, I know this will be there long when my grandchildren are my age. And we currently have, this is cabins 2 and 3. We currently have 3 cabins, 6 rooms that are built. And we are currently working on cabin number 4, which is here. This cabin happens to be on the other side. As I mentioned, they'll face each other. And the end goal would be to have 6 cabins in August, and that would enable us to begin to have our retreats there. We spend about $6,000 a year, which is may not in our economies a lot of money, but for us, it's a lot of money. And we'll probably save between about $4,500 and $5,000 a year by having our own facility. So it is really a gift from the Lord. This is also, to give you an idea of what it looked like, this is a mirror image, but these things are beautifully furnished. That's a tile floor. They're small. There's a small stove. We have a little refrigerator. We have a couch and bed, a place for your clothes, a nice bathroom. And it'll be a place that people can come and find rest and renewal, which is, we were talking this morning, people don't have money to get away, and there's not resources, or even places to go. So this will provide that. And when we aren't using it, the vision also is the couples of the churches will use it. And then when we're not using it, we will open it up to other churches so that they can also take advantage of this. It's located on Lake Ilopango, which is one of the second largest lakes in El Salvador. This is a little bit of the lakefront that we have on the other side of the property. And as you can see, it is a beautiful, beautiful setting and will very much lend itself for spiritual and physical renewal. So I hope that you are encouraged by that. If I could have the time to share all that God did to bring that about, I wish I did, but it is a work of the Lord, a work of the Lord, both outside the church and inside of the church, and it has been a divine provision. And again, I want to thank, again, many have given to that, the church has given to that, and we have been blessed by that. And I really believe that it is an incredible investment. A Fortune 500 is what I was going to say, investment. I believe it will bring many eternal dividends. The second part of this prayer was a couple that would come and have a vision and would be passionate and take this ministry. And I'm blessed this morning to have that couple with me. If you guys want to come up, Alfredo and Vicky Saravia. And I want you to meet them. They're going to share a few minutes. Vicky is the English speaker, so she'll be speaking. But they're going to tell you a little bit about themselves and who they are.
I am Alfredo. I am be happy to be here with my wife speak.
Good morning. We are happy to be with you and share something about us and about Buscad Primero Ministry. First, I will talk about us as a family and then our ministry. We met in Guatemala, where we both moved from our home countries, me from Honduras and he from El Salvador, to study at the Central American Seminary in Guatemala. And then, being guided by the Lord, we fell in love and got married after dating for 2 years, 25 years ago of that. We have 2 children, Josias, who is now a youth pastor in Guatemala City, and Raquel, who is studying her last year at the Central American Theological Seminary, which is also in Guatemala City. We are just beginning the empty nest stage of our marriage. We began our pastoral ministry in El Salvador, where our son Josias was born. Then we returned to Guatemala to get a master's degree. Alfredo's focus was on pastoral ministry and mine in counseling, because I am a psychologist. During this time, our daughter Raquel was born. While we were there, the Lord opened doors for us to join the seminary staff. Alfredo serves as a counselor for male students, and later as a chaplain. We serve in our church by working with young people, and I work in clinical psychology and counseling at the church. After 6 years there, we returned to El Salvador to pastor for the next 14 years. At that time, I began working in a home for children at social risk and then in a school where I was responsible for teaching values and supervising issues related to student discipline. Our children grew up during that time and received their own call to serve the Lord. So we give glory to God for touching their lives and guiding them in their ministry preparation. In 2023, 1 year ago, we sense God's leading to work with pastors. 25 years of pastoring have taught us that pastor needs help too. At first, we were not sure how to move forward and how we would go about developing this new ministry. However, God opened a door for us to be part of Buscar Primero. Buscar Primero has blessed us and helped us grow in our lives, personally and as a couple, in different ways. We came to realize that some important areas in our personal and family lives were not proper balanced. For example, putting the priorities of ministry over family and personal needs did not allow us to have a proper balance in our lives. As a result, we began to experience a loss of joy in both our personal lives and ministry. Another aspect that affected our health was a weekly calendar full of activities and commitments. Looking back, we have realized that we were fighting to gain acceptance in what we did and not in God. We realized that we lack balance spiritually, psychically, intellectually, and relationally in our family and our marriage. In 2016, when we arrived at our first Buscar Primero retreat, it seemed like an oasis. And it allowed us to slow down, to rest, and thus be able to concentrate on aspects of our marital and personal life. This time was key in that we were encouraged, guided, and challenged to work in those areas that are most important in the life of a follower of Christ. After returning home from the retreat, we were tempted to fall back in the old habit of running event to event. However, the principles we learned through Seek First enable us to begin to slowly make changes necessary to live a balanced life, according to Luke 2:52. After the conclusion of this retreat, we created development plans which guided us in making the change. Now, we are grateful to God for the progress we have made in such areas as our physical care through eating healthier, exercising regularly, and getting adequate sleep. These changes and others have enabled us to enjoy life more each day. We also are much more aware of the importance of living without our giving limitations. This principle has helped us to be more prayerful in considering the impact of adding new responsibilities. The habit of creating and using and develop a plan has been key to strengthening and balancing these areas. We are constantly reminding that learning to live balanced life is a lifelong process that demands time and energy. We are grateful for the many changes that God has made and continues to make in our lives. And lastly, we are thrilled to begin this new stage of our life through Buscar Primero by challenging and helping other pastoral couples experiencing the joy of living balanced lives. And it's a pleasure to be here to share this with you. Thank you.
One of the things that was most interesting, I'll share it with folks this morning, but at our first retreat, they were one of the very first couples of the first group I had. And I came home from Terry and I said, I found the couple. I found the couple that will take this ministry. What I didn't realize, it would be almost 8 years before we would get around to that. So that was quite a bit longer journey than whatever happened. But it really was a blessing when the Lord brought us to come about, and I was amazed. I really want to ask you to pray for the Saravias. What they're doing is brand new in the country we're in. People don't raise support there. That's a totally new concept. People don't understand it. Pastors don't understand it. And so this is a whole new adventure for the churches. Pray that the churches will grasp this new concept and will embrace and do their part in supporting and giving. And I want you to know, too, that I'm grateful if Alfredo and Vicky hadn't have been willing to do that, we would be years away from the churches having the economic capacity to provide for them. Their willingness to take this step of faith will advance us 5 or 6 years that I may not have. So I am very blessed that they're willing to do that, and ask you to pray with me that the Lord will bless them as we begin this journey. They only need $2,000 a month, which is really a minimal thing. And if you'd pray with me that God would provide that, their leadership is critical, and we really have gotten momentum going out of just really trusting the Lord to provide those needs. Hope you're encouraged. It is significant that they are here and that they're joining the ministry. You know, we must never forget, missions is about team. You know, you take an F-16, and for every pilot, there's at least, on a simple mission, 8 people that are needed just to get the aircraft off the ground. And if it's a complex mission, it'll be up to 14 or 16 people, not counting all the radar people and everything else that supports it. And I think when you look at this principle, it's far truer in missions than it is. Because just as you need more than pilots to have combat-ready aircraft, missionaries need people. It's just not all about the missionary. And when we focus on the missionary, that's an incredibly myopic way of looking at missions. Every missionary I've ever known that was successful and had longevity literally had, and hear me now, hundreds of people that were involved in his or her life over the course of their ministry. And I hope you realize the significance of that. It takes all of us to make this happen. And I think Satan sometimes numbs us, and we're thinking, well, I'm sitting here. What difference does it make? It makes a tremendous amount of difference about who we are and what we do. And what I want to do this morning, and I want you to stay with, has been absolutely 4 times in our lives where our relationship with this church has been absolutely critical at a juncture in our lives. And I want you to capture that. And I have no doubt every couple we sent out could stand up and say some of the same things. But I just want, from my experience, share with you how this has impacted our family. And then I want you to know this morning, maybe some of you are here, but I want you to know how unique the journey and the focus of this church is, and that we might celebrate that. We were members of Mountain Park for 4 years. We were on staff 5 years, and again, we've been missionaries for about 40 years. And this journey that we've been together is rare. You don't find missionaries that have served alongside a single church for that length of period. The majority of missionaries I know had between 20 and 30 churches that were part of their ministries. As you can imagine, when you got 20 or 30 churches, you don't know them very well, and they don't know you very well. And yeah, you're teaming together, but it's this loose organization that often doesn't provide much for anyone, those giving or those going. And let me say this, it takes two to make this happen. There are missionaries that don't desire relationship with churches. They want to be focused on the field, and they don't want to mess with a relationship with a church. And there are churches sometimes that don't have that vision. So for this to happen, it takes a common commitment. It takes a church like Melanie Park that is committed to that, and we that leave need to have that same commitment, that we will maintain and nurture this relationship so that we might journey together over the long haul. And we have been blessed. Terry and I knew from day one that this has been a blessing. It's now nearly for a lifetime. And that is a marvelous, marvelous way to live and do ministry. And as we can clearly see the finish line, we are convinced that God has saved the best for last. I've enjoyed all of ministry, but these years have been some of the richest for us in our own personal lives. And I want to mention four times that you have played a key role in our lives. Most of you know I arrived here in 76 as an instructor pilot. And as that all wrapped up, I thought, hey, I'll go and be a missionary aviation pilot. Well, I applied, and that time I was 28. And at that point in time, anybody 28 was way too old. They told me I couldn't go. I had small kids, and they didn't want us. So I thought, man, that's closed. So we thought, what do we do? We'll go to seminary. And our vision was we'll go to seminary, then we'd like to come back and find a church where that will have the vision of raising up and sending out missionaries. And I'm grateful to say it was the Lord's design that we come back and be on staff here. And shortly after we came back on staff in 81, we were invited to go to Lima, Peru. There was a ministry there we were evaluating, and I went down with that group of leaders, and it was this trip that God used to reopen that door. And a year later, we went once again, and we came back and shared that with church leadership, and they affirmed our following the Lord's will in that and walked alongside us as we pursued Lima, Peru. Now, I want you to hear that. You opened the door. You provided the way for me to go, and had that not happened, I think I would have considered missions a closed door, and nothing would have happened had that not happened. And who knew one short trip of a week would so radically change certainly our lives and begin this journey. The second key juncture came only a year later. We were thinking we're going to Lima, Peru, and we began to pursue that, and much to my dismay, it fell apart. And I came back to the church and go, well, what do we do now? And it was, again, church leadership that recommended that I contact a group called CAM International. And CAM International invited us to take a trip to Mexico City. And when you know it, trip there and 24 hours there would lead to 15 years serving in Mexico and doing church planning, leadership development, working at the seminary. And the years and the quality of leadership and the things that we experienced were transformational. Once again, Melanie Park gave us the direction where to go and who to talk to. And I hope you're catching it. This stuff just, it's not just loosely connected. This is God working through the team. And 2000 was another key juncture I'd like to share. The CAM International Board had invited us to consider coming up and being a part of the executive leadership team. And I want to be honest with you, I'd been on the field long enough. You leave the field and you get in the U.S. and in leadership, you lose your support. And I thought, oof, I don't know if I want to do that or not. So I called the leadership. I said, guys, this is what it is. What do you think? And we were blessed to have a church that said, follow the Lord's will. So 11 years later, we served those 11 years in executive leadership, and we were blessed once again to have a church that we could sit down and talk to at a critical juncture that would walk alongside us as we made a major change in ministry. And what did that do for us? Well, one, it gave us a much broader perspective of missions. We got to go all over Central America, South America, into Europe through Spain, and I had a chance to get exposed to other agencies and their philosophies and what they do. We began to understand the causes of missionary attrition, burnout, physical and emotional conflict, and it was in 2004, really the seeds of what I am doing in Latin America. We called it Seek First back then. That comes from Matthew 6:33. We were doing it in English. And we began to do this with the missionary body of CAM International. Why? Because we had missionaries burning out. We had missionaries crashing and with conflict and issues going on. And over the next 6 years, we took 60% of the missionary body, most everybody that wanted to, through week-long retreats for the single purpose of avoiding missionary attrition. And in the life of CAM International, it was the first time anything like that had ever been offered. And I can tell you that everyone that attended and really took advantage of that, their lives were significantly changed. In 2011, as I left executive leadership, we created the vision of Seek First with the goal that it might be bilingual. Why? Because we were working with Spanish speakers. And I believed that these principles were cross-cultural. I believed the needs were cross-cultural, but I hadn't had a chance to prove that. And as we left, we began to focus and was born Buscad Primero, and basically in 2010. And for the next 6 years, I traveled to Mexico, Honduras, Colombia, Spain, doing these things. And it was a tremendous time understanding and seeing that these principles were cross-cultural, the needs were universal, and it was an endless opportunity of learning strategic concepts regarding what I'm doing. Now, the last one, in 2019, we were informed that CAM International, Camino Globe at that time, would be joining with Avant Ministries International. And the reason that was significant for us, they had a policy that anyone over 65 was automatically retired. At that time, I happened to be the young age of 69. And I got to thinking, wow, and they told us, that's policy. Sorry about it, guys. You need to notify your supporters and make that adjustment. And as I prayed through that, I thought, man, I'm not ready to do this. And the ministry's at a critical point. And again, we were able to come back and talk to the missions committee and say, guys, this is what's going on. What do you think? And once again, we were encouraged to follow the Lord's design and continue focusing on Buscad Primero. And again, would not be here today if it weren't for those extra years. That's 5 extra years. And I want you to, again, see the significance of those things and how they happen. Let me talk about why it's been significant in El Salvador. In 2016, I went for the first time to El Salvador. And I'd done this in a lot of places. And at that time, El Salvador was one of the most violent, not-at-war countries in the world. And when I went in there, I immediately began to notice something is different here. Something is different. And when you've got to realize until 2022, the levels of violence were incredibly high. People left their houses really only to do very needed activities in the day. And you, even in the daytime, you were exposed to robberies and assaults and kidnappings. And the country was literally controlled from one end to the other by cartels. I cannot describe you. There were people that had been living 20 years under house arrest. It was absolutely phenomenal. To leave at night was literally to risk your life. And you can imagine how that affected people and life and ministry. And from the very beginning, the response in the midst of all of that amazed me. They immediately began to support with me the church association, the retreats. Pastors from 25 years old up to 65 years old came to the retreats. Since 2016, we've almost had 60 couples participate in Buscad retreats. And the level of life change that I've observed has been exceptional. And within 4 years, we had reduced the loss of pastors by over 50%. That's the work of God. And since then, God took a young man, 35 years old, you may have heard of him, the president of El Salvador, his name is Bukele. And he comes out of a Muslim family. His dad is an imam. He himself says he's Catholic, and most of the men in El Salvador believe he is a believer. And one night, after 100 people were slain in battles there in the city, and one night he declared war on the cartels in 2022. And he has literally, he declared war and cleaned the country. I cannot tell you. In 18 months, for the first time, people are in the streets. They walk. They're out. They're free. And in spite of the horrible reports that we get in the paper, it has been a liberation like few people have seen. And the ministry, because of that, has begun to grow in an incredibly new way because we have the opportunity to move and to the freedom to do things. And I hope that you will pray for him. Pray for his safety. He is one in a thousand, one in a thousand, and I believe he is God's man in God's time. This season of ministry has been, again, one of the most fruitful that I've had a chance to be a part of. And what I want you to understand, and I hope you catch this again, I'm here because we came here. We. Not everybody in this body, but over the last 40 years, the men and women who have been a part of this body, the pastors, the elders, the missions committee, this has been a joint effort. That's the way it happens. And I hope that there will always be a recognition, if you are part of this body, of the importance of this and of us doing this. But missions is a team effort and always will be. Now, I want to give two challenges as I kind of wrap things up here this morning. The first is one personally. I am fearful that the accelerated pace of today's life and just how hard we run has lessened or even removed the desire to really be desire to understand what it means to journey with a body of believers. Not just drop in, not be here on Sunday mornings, but to really share life and ministry together, to commit to being a part of this family. Evangelicals are church gypsies. Let's be honest about it. We have allowed the imperfections of our humanity, which we all have, that create conflict, and we find ourselves running from one church to the next with the illusion that there's a church out there somewhere where that doesn't exist. And we know that's a lie. The church is imperfect and will always be. And I left the church for 8 years. I know what it is to do that. I know what it is to be bitter. I know what it is to run. And let me say this. We've lost the joy of living and journeying together. And I hope that God will impress upon our hearts the value of that. Is it easy? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And it never will be. Oh, my goodness, it's not easy. And may we learn to see, as we took the Lord's Supper this morning, the church through the eyes of Christ. And how does he see us? We are redeemed. We are holy. We are righteous. We are accepted. And in spite of the fact that we live in these earthly bodies, we will remain broken in the flesh and other people in process. Now, in saying that, don't excuse sin. Don't excuse the problems we have. But we should not be surprised by them. We should recognize that's a part of life and never allow them to bring about bitterness or division or conflict. It's this tension to me that makes the church so miraculous. It's the fact that we are so different and we do rub each other so wrong in so many ways, and yet we love and serve the same Lord. We should be humbled always by our own humanity and always thankful for the forgiving and enabling grace of God. And might that move us to look around us and extend that same grace and that same patience and that same love, and when necessary, that forgiveness to those that offend us and hurt us, whatever that be. And second, I hope that the vision for the world that God has given this church will always be a mark and a characteristic that distinguishes this body of believers. And that we will always see men and women who are led of the Spirit of God from this church that will go around the world and wherever God leads. There are opportunities here and there, but that we will be available and free to move as God leads us. And may we, as we do that, and I hope you're catching it, be committed to team together, because it is a team ministry. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this morning. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the fact that you have saved us, redeemed us, and the Holy Spirit has made us part of your heavenly family. God, remind us of how who we are in you. We are redeemed, we are righteous, we are perfect. Perfect. And may we always see people in the eyes of what they're becoming, so that we can give them grace and, when necessary, forgiveness as they move in the process of realizing that transformation that will ultimately be accomplished when we stand in his presence. Lord, give us a passion and a love and an appreciation for this specific body of believers. If you've led someone here today, I pray they are fully committed. This is like a marriage relationship. You get out of it what you put into it. And I pray that we would be willing to grow and nurture one another, and that we might continue, again, to be a model of what it means to walk as a family of Christ. And then I pray, oh Lord, as we think about the world around us, I pray you will never cease to raise up men and women, young and old. It's not just a young person's job. Whether it's to someplace in the U.S. or someplace in Russia, call us, oh Lord, and use us. And again, remind us that whether we hold the rope, whether we go, whether we pray, whether we give, all of that is necessary. So we thank you, Lord, and we celebrate you because you do it. Amen.